Joining us now with a kind of social media success story is Andrea McCarron, who got laid off in January of last year from a Washington, D.C. television station after 26 years in broadcast news. She then used social media to launch a fascinating experience relevant to her own job loss and that of other Americans around the country. And my sources tell me that Andrea just got a job, like today, with another...
Good morning, Brian. Yes, that's true, and I have to credit social media with my actually landing a full-time job, which I have just accepted, and it is in my industry.
How so? How did social media play a role?
Well, if I can backtrack a minute, I covered the Obama inauguration, and three days later, along with 26 colleagues, was laid off, completely caught off guard. Mm. You know, had always gotten great performance reviews, been named Employee of the Month, and all of that good stuff, won all of the broadcasting awards, and simply got a phone call telling me on a Friday not to bother coming in that day or pretty much ever again.
Mm.
And it was interesting because right from the start, of course, I did what a lot of people who are abruptly laid off do, and they try to call their spouse. So I tried to reach my husband on the phone and via email and got no response. So I did what I think is sort of the 21st century thing to do, and I updated my Facebook status and mentioned that I had been laid off. What I didn't expect is this just avalanche of condolences, job leads, just really an extraordinary outpouring of compassion. And that led to my very first job interview. Within a week, I was being flown to Los Angeles to interview with a CEO, an entrepreneur, and if nothing else, that completely boosted my spirits.
I guess. And as if to demonstrate the power of social media, I gather that after you posted your just got laid off status on your Facebook page, your husband found out through social media before you were able to reach him yourself?
Unfortunately, and that was one of the absolutely unintended consequences of social media. I had not really thought that through, Brian. Someone else, a colleague of his, saw my posting and phoned him and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about Andrea." And he said, "What about Andrea?" And she said, "I see on her Facebook status that she notes that she's enormously grateful for her 26-year run in television news and that she's been laid off." And he said, "You're telling me something I don't know." And he said, "Let me call you back." And so he reached me, and, you know, great husband, great guy, and peripherally in the same industry. And he said, "Oh, my goodness, where are you? Do you want me to come home?" And I said, "No, I've got resumes to send out." And it was funny.
Right to it. You're going past the five stages of grief right onto job hunting.
Well, it was so interesting because, you know, when you're laid off, you can really look at things two ways. You can brood and be unhappy and be angry and go through those stages of, you know, grief and loss. Or you can pretty much get busy. And I found it fascinating. My reaction was just tremendous relief. And I like to tell people, being laid off was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
And you have a great story to tell about how you use social networking to do something in the interim while you were looking for work. But let's take some phone calls, because we did put out the call to our listeners to call in and give us any of your experiences or advice with respect to social networking and the job search. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Chris in Montclair. Hi, Chris. You're on WNYC.
Hey, how are you?
Good. So something about LinkedIn?
Yeah, this actually, I was using LinkedIn that ended up leading me to a job search. It's a little bit different of a story, and it was I worked for a software company that was negotiating with a marketing agent. The marketing agent wanted to basically sell his services to the software company I worked for to make introductions to help us sell the software. And while the deal was being negotiated, the owner of the software company linked in with this marketing agent. And then about a month into the conversation, the owner of the software company, my boss, came back to me and said, "Well, the deal's going south, but it doesn't matter because I've already copied all 5,000 contacts from the marketing agent's LinkedIn contact."
Is that legal? But then he was able to use them, presumably, to pursue other leads.
I don't know.
You don't
know. Once you have the list, you can do with it whatever you want.
There you go. Okay, Chris, interesting story. Thank you very much. Let's get another one from George in Harrison. You're not George Harrison, though, right?
No, George in Garrison, as a matter of fact.
Oh, Garrison. Forgive my screener. Okay, Harrison is in New Jersey. Garrison is in New York. Hi, George.
Hi. My observation is simply this. Laid off, I guess, 4 months ago.
Actually, there is a Harrison in New York, too, but go ahead.
Yep. Certainly, I agree with your previous caller that it was probably the best thing that could have happened at the time. Worked in the television production business as well. I think it's indicative of television folks to get right down to business and start looking for work and not to go through the various stages of loss. I just think that's indicative of us. However, we're involved with a group, a company that helps you kind of get your materials together, your marketing plan, those kinds of things, and introduced me to things like LinkedIn as an option for social networking. What I found in talking to a lot of people and certainly posting my own and working with it for a while was for our industry, it wasn't a particularly good tool. For many other industries, it was, and it was good for networking on one hand, which is very important for the job search. But additionally, my understanding was that a lot of HR folks in certain industries use LinkedIn to look for people, and it's very important to use the right keywords and those kinds of things so you pop up on their radar. So I did observe a lot of people finding it useful. For us, in the television field where you work creative work, I find most helpful is to have your own website, have a Facebook page that is really geared towards networking and showing your material, even better, your own website or your own blog. A lot of the creatives that I've worked with over the years have their own areas that they use as kind of a multimedia resume.
George, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your call. Andrea, you want to reflect on anything?
Absolutely. Echo what George said. I immediately, within days, launched my own website, and I am not a web site builder or creator, but I did one of those very basic, you know, website tonight kind of sites. Mm-hmm. And maybe having bought my own name, AndreaMcCarron.com, as my domain name, I think it was $10, a great investment, was able to post my resume online. And one of the things that I learned through this is you will not necessarily go. And this is where I think a lot of people make a mistake, is you won't go necessarily from one full-time job right to the next. What happened with me with social networking, and both LinkedIn and Facebook primarily, and then I started tweeting, is that I was willing to take any little part-time job. And what I did was cobble together a mosaic of part-time jobs over the last year and was really willing to take things that would just keep some money coming in and, you know, keep me busy and keep me networking.
And we have a few minutes for you to tell us about the amazing trip that you set up after being laid off and what it had to do with social media. This is, I think, a fantasy of every journalist and, you know, maybe everybody who's just graduating from college to do exactly what you did after you lost your job. Tell us about it.
Oh, and this is truly why I say this is the best thing that ever happened to me and to my family. And I credit my 13-year-old son who said, "Mom, just because you're not working at WJLA doesn't mean you're not still a reporter. You've always wanted to travel the country." So in short, we dropped everything. It was the summer, and we hit the road in a rented RV with no itinerary and relied solely on social media for our route. We basically would post several times a day, sometimes just on a daily basis, that we are looking for positive, inspirational economic turnaround stories, whether it was individuals who had reinvented themselves or, in some cases, entire towns, particularly auto industry towns, that had absolutely collapsed under the weight of the economy, but then were able to reinvent themselves, some with, you know, new energy technologies, just a variety of things. So we traveled through 21 states, 6,400 miles, blogged along the way, and took still pictures, took video, and basically it changed our lives forever. And we met such great people and realized that, you know, we have it pretty good. I did have to sell my house right away to help fund the trip.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. About a year later, I'm completely back on my feet, about to do a 3-year television deal.
So there you were, laid off from a lucrative position, or at least a good solid job, and you immediately made yourself homeless so you could hit the road, live in an RV, and travel around the country and do, I guess, the kind of journalism that you used to get paid for, right?
Well, yes, exactly. What's so interesting is, you know, we joke in our business that we have no other marketable skills. You know, we can't do anything but report and interview people and write. So people would ask us, you know, who are you working for when you hit the road? And I said, no one. So we just started blogging, and, you know, one nice emailer said to me, you really ought to make unemployment your employment. And I took that to heart and, you know, tweeted, did Facebook, did LinkedIn, attracted this big band of followers. I sort of friended everybody, and they just constantly gave us new story ideas. And what's been so amazing about this whole trip and this whole journey over the last year is that trip, which was a complete risk, a complete gamble, it was about as low budget as a trip can get, has led to extraordinary opportunities. I've written a number of articles. I have done television appearances. I sold a number of my stories from the road. I went back with a television crew and sold them to PBS's My Generation. And that's how I landed my current job,
that's
is
great.
They were following my Facebook postings.
There you go. And listeners, we have just about 3 or 4 minutes for your calls on how you have used social networking for good or for ill in your job search, what has worked for you, what hasn't worked for you. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And here's what's coming up next. Our Andrea Bernstein is in Times Square right now, where Mayor Bloomberg is just wrapping up a news conference. He is announcing that the experiment to ban cars from the Times Square area, 42nd to 47th Street, is going to be made permanent. And Andrea Bernstein will report from the scene of Times Square in just a couple of minutes as soon as that news conference wraps up. We continue until then with Andrea McCarron, who just got a new TV job in Washington, D.C., as we talk about social networking and the job hunt. And Brooke in Glen Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hey, Brooke.
Hi there. Thanks so much. I have a story about my son wanted to work in a physics lab in Stockholm in Sweden last summer. So I got on a social business networking site called Xing, X-I-N-G, which is mostly European, and I listed the top 10 networkers in Stockholm, and I wrote to them saying my son is looking for an internship, and two of them wrote back immediately. All of them wrote back and said, we're in the business marketplace. Two wrote back immediately and said, I'll start working on it. And 2 days later, he had an internship.
There you go.
In a physics lab. And then a few days later, he had another one. So he had his choice.
So what do you mean by the top 10 networkers in Stockholm?
Well, you can look at how many contacts each person has. So I'd been collecting sort of contacts at random. I just find people and talk to them over the years. And so I just did a search on who I was connected to, either directly or through somebody else in Stockholm. And then I just looked at how many contacts they had. And I wrote to them.
That's clever. Brooke, thank you very much. And Lauren in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Brian. Always great to hear you on the show.
Thank you.
Basically, I've been unemployed but working independently for a couple of years now. I'm in a little bit of a specialized field, so not as entrenched, let's say, for 26 years in one position. But I've used LinkedIn, I've used Crossing, I've used Pipple. I'm basically on all of them that are, you know, above a certain level. If you take a look at Quantcast or Alexa.com, that measures what level they're on. And what I've found is that there are good people out there. But as far as finding a specific position for my case, very, very difficult. I've had people contact me for information and for documentation, et cetera, which I'm usually happy to provide. But lately, I've become less likely to give this information out because ultimately, you know, how much can you give without getting back? And LinkedIn is just, I'd say, in the last 2 months, started to get inundated with a lot of the same kind of spoof spams and phishing that you get from your website, from your own email addresses, like they say, you know, the old $2.5 million waiting for you if you email me your address right now, you know, all that kind of good stuff. So that's unfortunate because I think LinkedIn is pretty professional. Yes, there are very few lawyers and professionals. It is a human resources kind of place to be. I'm in the medical field, anti-aging and whatnot, so it's not that replete with that area, but you know, those, it's difficult to get into those kinds of social networks because they don't really exist. It's more of a professional network that you have to join as opposed to something like LinkedIn for anti-aging.
So yeah. What would be the thing you would most encourage somebody who just lost their job to use, given, you know, that you've used a number of these different social media? Where would you have somebody start right now?
I think the old buckshot method doesn't work. That's, you know, you're kind of wounding a few ducks and they fall down and you're lucky if you get them. The old-fashioned elephant gun technique is really, you got to spend your time tracking in your industry, focus on the associations within your industry, definitely join the networks, definitely get your own page up there. Unfortunately, these days, you got to be online. It doesn't necessarily help you with your time because it does take a lot of time. But you have to have your electronic calling card because that's essentially what it is. But go out there to I do network within my own field, like supply side, the trade shows, the consumer events that focus on your area. Use your network. Call people that you you know. Don't be afraid to say, listen, I'm looking for a position. I've just been laid off. You got to suck it up a little bit. I mean, that was some part of my problem because I didn't necessarily go through the five, you know, stages of depression and whatnot after being looking for a new position, but I definitely didn't want to go out there and say, hey, I'm looking for a position. I had an ego at the time, and that's definitely fallen away. I do have to pay the rent. I do have to take care of the kids, and that's, you know, at that point you say to yourself, listen, I got to go out there and get something. So take those small jobs that your guest was talking about. I didn't initially. Now I'm taking whatever I can. And that's what you got to work your network, work your industry, get out there, go to the trade shows, go to the consumer events. Don't stay at home. Don't stick on the computer because you'll never be found.
A lot of good advice there, it sounds like, and a lot of experience to back it up. Lauren, thank you so much for adding your voice
today.
Thank
you. Take care,
Ryan. And I want to thank Andrea McCarron. Now working once again. Do you want to tell people where they can see you if they're in the D.C. area?
It has not been made public yet, so I better wait and just hope that they channel surf.
Somewhere on television in Washington, D.C., you can see our last guest here, Andrea McCarron. Thank you very much for joining our Help Wanted segment. And again, anyone can visit our Help Wanted project on Facebook or get there through WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You can check back there as frequently as you want to see how our bloggers are doing or share your own stories or advice on the Help Wanted wall about job hunting and social media or anything else. Anyone can be a member of our Help Wanted community. We will meet the second of our five job-seeking bloggers on tomorrow's show. And coming up in just a minute, the Times Square No Car Experiment is being made public. We'll get details from Times Square and your reactions.